Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to invite you to a new series as well as a new broadcast today. We're going to be talking about in this entire series about a way to get to the root of every single temptation or every single struggle that you have. And I know that just sounds phenomenal, but I'll tell you something. It's a biblical principle that we got to lay the axe to the root. And what happens when you lay the axe to the root? I'll tell you what happens, the entire tree dies. This month, we are going to learn how to overcome our greatest temptation. And we're going to go to some places dealing with some things that you've heard before, but maybe you've never really seen them or heard them from this perspective. And you're going to discover the greatest deception that the devil has and how it's so common and how it works through every part of your life. Listen, this series, as well as this program today, can be found at www.impactministries.com along with several other wonderful programs. You know, for so many Christians, faith is a matter of pulling a scripture out of the Bible from somewhere and trying really, really hard to believe it. But the truth is, we have to trust the God of the Word before we can really trust the Word of God. In this new series, Overcoming Your Greatest Temptations, I'm going to introduce you to the root of all of your struggles, all of your temptations, and give you tools that will take you down a path so that you'll always come to the place of victory. Today I'm talking to you about the light of understanding. Now, through this message and through this series that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next few weeks, I want to help you transform the way you relate to the Word of God. You know, sadly, so many people read the Word of God more out of obligation, or even serious Bible students read the Word of God just looking for doctrine and trying to determine just what's right and wrong doctrinally. Honestly, not a lot of people actually experience life when they read the Word of God. And I want to help you transform the Word of God from something that is just information and letters on a page to something that explodes inside you. And I tell you, honestly, it can. You know, Jesus was talking one time to a group of people, and he said, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them that you have life. He said, but the power is you don't understand the power of God. You don't understand the life of God. You see, if God is in a situation, if God is working in that situation, and He's working based on really our attitude, our beliefs, our thoughts, our ideals as we approach the situation, if God is in it, then there will always be an experience of life, an experience of empowerment. It won't just be getting some more information so you can win the next argument. It won't just be picking you up some new doctrine that you can talk with people about. It won't just be paying your dues on your fire insurance, if you know what I'm talking about. The light of understanding. Listen, the light of life and the light of understanding are almost synonymous, because understanding and light go hand in hand. Now, light is synonymous with truth, it's synonymous with understanding, it's synonymous with health and healing and all of those things. But I want you to understand that fundamentally, the reason light produces life, the reason light produces understanding, the reason light produces all of these healthy, positive things is because light speaks of a revealing something. It speaks of opening something up. It speaks of causing us to be able to see something more clearly. Now, so in bringing ourselves into the life of God, there also has to be a journey into the light, into seeing, owning, and accepting what God says, how God says it, and then experiencing the power of that through the Holy Spirit. So remember this, and this is so crucial. You know, I've quoted these two scriptures together for I don't even know how many years now. If you've heard me preach very much, you've heard me quote these scriptures, and you'll always hear me quote these scriptures. Remember, Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that they might have life and have it to its fullest, or have abundant life. So Jesus came. He wants us to have this incredible life. And sometimes we just stop right there and we realize, okay, then I just believe real hard on Jesus and I'm going to have incredible life. But it really moves on beyond that, because in John 17:3, Jesus says this, and this is eternal life. Now, that word eternal life is actually, it comes from the Greek word zoe. That word zoe means the quality of life that God possesses, or the quality of life that is given by the one that possesses it. So God is trying to bring us into the same quality of life that He has. Man, I just can't even imagine that. We'll never really see that in its fullness until we see Him face to face and experience Him as He really is, totally and completely. But here and now in this world, we should be experiencing abundant life, eternal life. We should be experiencing a quality of life that supersedes our circumstances, that supersedes our relationships, that supersedes our income, that supersedes all other things. And in fact, rather than trying to have all of those things to make the quality of our life better, the life that we experience in God makes all of those things better. So Jesus says, now this is life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And He's talking to the Father there. So this word for know here, where He talks about knowing God, comes from the Greek word gnosis, and it has to do with experiencing something. This is not simply about gathering more information. You know, in the early church, there was a corruption that crept into the early church called Gnosticism. And the word Gnosticism comes from that Greek word gnosis. And really, the spirit of Gnosticism is alive and well in the 21st century church. Because rather than knowing God and being intimate with God, there is this tendency to always want to get new information, to get a new revelation, and to try to tantalize ourselves or scratch our itching ears with new deep revelation, which really doesn't do anything to add to the quality of our life. It kind of boosts our ego to think that we know something that someone else doesn't know. But life does not come from doctrine or information alone. Information is good. Good doctrine is good. You got to have it. But to do that independent of that information or that doctrine, enhancing your knowledge of God, you're just going to end up to be an egomaniac. Remember, knowledge puffs up and love builds up. Now, the world has had centuries of seeing God act, and hundreds of pages revealing His nature. But the problem is, the nature of God has been perverted. It has been twisted. You see, down through history, through the religious culture that we come from, and even the religious culture of the Jews before Jesus came, the knowledge of God was twisted into something that even though we had an accurate record of God and His actions in planet Earth, we were like the children of Israel who saw His actions, but they really did not understand His ways, because the information was perverted by the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, it's really interesting. The Bible really doesn't just warn against the law being the leaven. The Bible warns that it's the way the Pharisees interpret and twist the law that make it a destructive leaven that corrupts the Word of God, that corrupts the message of grace and truth. So basically, religious leaders took what was true, God's word, and they perverted it to such a degree that you couldn't read it and see God in it, because when you were reading it, you were reading it under the influence of religious thinking. So remember, God is the key to life. Knowing God is where we experience life. Now, in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is speaking in behalf of God, and God says, look, you know, I'm seeing something here. I'm seeing my people go into captivity. Why do people go into captivity? Isaiah 52, 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 right there talks about it. He says, now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. In other words, God is saying, my people are going into captivity for no reason. It's not based on truth. It's not based on something that God wants to happen. It's based on what the leaders were teaching them. And he goes on to say that because of the leaders, one translation says they wail and moan or mourn because of the oppression that they're living under. And they're taken into this captivity. And some people even reach a place where they hate God, where they blame God for the things that are going wrong in their lives. I got to tell you, there are doctrines floating around today in the church that cause people to blame God. And these doctrines didn't come out of the Bible. They infiltrated the early church through Greek mysticism and through other cults, through leaders that were not born again, through leaders that mishandled the word of God. But interestingly, God promised that a day would come when man would be able to see God as he truly was. Now, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you have a division there that's really important to understand. The Old Testament is a true and accurate account of God's dealing with mankind. And then within the Old Testament, you have what's called the Old Covenant. Now, the Old Covenant was the terms, the provision, the contract, if you will, whereby man would relate to God until Jesus would come. Now, when Jesus came, that did not do away with the Old Testament. But Jesus came and introduced a new covenant whereby we would relate to God on a new and different contract, a new and different basis, if you will. So you have to realize that the Old Testament revealed what was true about God. It was twisted into something that was not truth because of the way leaders presented it. But the problem is we come into this new covenant, and we think that all of the Old Testament and everything said in the Old Testament is about the Old Covenant, and it is not. The Old Testament is full of teachings about Jesus, about His first coming, about His second coming, about the nature and the character of God, about all kinds of things, about understanding how to have health, how to have social order, how to relate to one another, how to walk in love, how to have a great marriage, how to raise your kids. It's got all these things that have nothing to do with the covenant. But unfortunately, we have this tendency to want to throw all of that stuff away instead of looking at it and interpreting it through the eyes of the new covenant. Now, the word of God was true, and God did not change. What changed was the covenant. What changed was that in this new covenant, the Holy Spirit would come into us, we'd be born again, and the grace of God would work in us and make us able to live a godly, righteous life, which would fulfill all of God's truth, which would fulfill all of God's word. Now, the word of God is true. It has always been true, and the Old Covenant is not, or the Old Testament rather, is not untrue. And the word of God is supposed to be our basis for understanding God and His nature. It should have compelled people into a life of intimacy with God, even under the Old Testament. You got to realize in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a whole chapter of people that that read the Old Testament, and they were compelled to seek God. They became worshipers. They became people of faith. They became prophets and priests and miracle workers. They did mighty things for God because they didn't just stop at reading the Word. They went on to seek God intimately instead of just trying to live, try to live by the rules. Now, remember, turning the Word into legalism, turning the Word into something that God never intended to be, became a means for leaders to control and to judge and to twist man's view, man's understanding of God. And so they couldn't walk in the light because the light that was in them was darkness. Now, you know, the New Testament, Jesus warned about that, about how great a destruction will happen in us, in our lives, if the light that is in us is darkness. Now, Jesus came as the living Word. John 1:1-3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Now, everybody knows that this where it says Jesus was the Word, that the English for Word is the Greek for Logos. Now, I don't know how it happened. I don't know where this came from, but somewhere along the way, somebody said that Logos was the written Word, and that Rhema, which is another Greek word, was the spoken Word of God. I got news for you. Both of those definitions are incorrect. I don't know where they came from or how they started. But you see, the Logos is not only something that's said, but it's the thought, it's the reasoning, it's the motive, it's the logic, it's the computation, it's the character. The Logos of God is the Word of God, but it's more about the character and the wisdom and the intention behind the Word than it is just the Word itself. And you see, men have capitalized on taking the Word of God, whether it's in the Old Testament or whether it's in the New Testament, and twisting it into a list of rules instead of understanding it as God's wisdom for how to live an incredible life. So Jesus comes, and see, Jesus was the personification not only of the written Word of God, but He was the personification of everything that the written Word of God up until that time had meant, everything it had intended, everything that it had implied. It says in John 1, verse 4, it says, "In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now, Jesus shined the light onto the Word by revealing the true nature and the true character of God. He showed us what God would really look like, because remember, the Bible tells us that no one has ever seen God except the Son. So that meant that in the Old Testament, and you know, it's true today of preachers and teachers and believers, so many people are presenting their view of God. And if their view of God does not look like the life that Jesus lived, then their light is darkness. Their light that they're trying to show you God from actually hides God from you. So Jesus came and showed us what God was really like. Everything that Jesus lived, everything that Jesus taught, everything that every way that He treated people was a revelation. It was light shining onto all of the Old Testament and saying, if you had read this and sought God and understood it the way God intended it, then you would have seen God the way Jesus came and showed it. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, God is glorified in Jesus And, you know, the word glorify, I mean, the word glory comes from the Greek word doxa, and this word has to do with the brightness, the splendor, the greatness, you know, all of these incredible things. But basically, on a functional level, the doxa, the glory of God, emerges from God's view, God's opinion, and God's reality. So, you see, Jesus came and revealed God's own view of himself. Revealed God's own opinion of himself. Revealed God's own reality of himself. So if we wanted to know what God looked like, all we've got to do is look at the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, where the ultimate of God's love was revealed. You know, the Bible tells us there in the first chapter of John, it says that Moses gave the law and Jesus brought grace and truth. Well, I want you to understand, that word truth there is not necessarily saying that Jesus brought us new truth. It is saying that Jesus brought us the true intention, all that God intended and all that God had implied in his word. And if we had been operating from love instead of control. You see, you know, I'll hear people say, well, you know, the old covenant was a covenant of fear. No, it wasn't. It was not a covenant of fear. Man turned it into a covenant of fear. Well, the old covenant was all about wrath. No, it wasn't. Man turned it into a covenant of wrath. The old covenant was as close to giving life as we could have, independent of Jesus coming and giving us life. See, the law couldn't really give you life. But you see, the problem with everything that happened under the law wasn't the law. The problem that happened under the law was the flesh. It was what man did with it, how man perverted it, how man twisted. So Jesus had to come and be the Word in the flesh. The Word, everything that God had ever said, Jesus came and personified what it really meant, what it really looked like. So John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I want you to understand something. Jesus shines the light onto who God really is. Jesus shows us the truth of who God really is and the way to walk with God, what God's true ways are. Now, I want you to understand something. It's very important you get this. The Apostle Paul did not see God and he was not the way, truth, and the life. The Apostle Peter was not the way, the truth, and the life. The Apostle James was not the way, the truth, and the life. They all wrote about their experience with Jesus, what God had shown them, but they were still writing from a secondhand experience. And while I believe and honor all the epistles that were written in the New Testament, you have to understand something. You've got to interpret those epistles in light of what Jesus showed us. You know, I'll hear people say today sometimes, like, you know, we can't follow the teachings of Jesus because Jesus was a teacher of the old covenant. No, he wasn't. He was a teacher of the gospel of the kingdom. He wasn't a teacher of the law or of legalism. He wasn't a teacher of the old covenant. He came and taught us about the gospel of the kingdom. Now listen to this. John 5:20 says this, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us and understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, eternal God. Did you get that? Jesus came and has given us an understanding that we might know him, know God. And remember, life is in knowing God. Throughout this series, I'm going to help you shine the light onto the Word of God so you can know him experientially. And by knowing him experientially, you will begin to experience a new quality of life. You will begin to experience kingdom living, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. By shining the light on the Word, if you choose to believe it, if you choose to accept it the way Jesus revealed it to us, I promise you, your entire world is going to change. You're going to experience the grace of God working in you. You're going to experience the righteousness of God working in you. And you're probably going to unlock some of the doors in your life that seem to keep the promises of God just beyond your reach. Jesus and Jesus alone is the true understanding, the true revelation revelation of God. Through his life, his teaching, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have a light that shines onto and reveals all the Word of God to us. Join me for my mentoring moment in just a second. I hope you'll join me at some of the events that are happening across the country, because I'm telling you, I love it when I get to meet people in person. I love to minister to you personally. September the 11th through the 14th, Grace United Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. September the 23rd through the 25th, ministering to leaders with Safe Harbor Ministries in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. October the 10th through the 12th, I'm going to be in Destined to Win Church in Chicago, Illinois. Man, I can't wait to get up there with you guys in Chicago. Then October the 17th through the 19th here in Huntsville. We're having heart physics for health and healing. Then in November, I'm going to be in Six Nations Reserve in Hagersville, Ontario with Larry Salt. Man, I hope you can get out of these things. Listen, be sure and download my free mobile app. It will keep you on top of everything that I'm doing across the country. It'll make sure that you get all of my blogs, all of my posts, all of my encouraging quotes. It will keep you right in touch with us. You can even watch the program on the app. Sadly, few people have learned the secret of dealing with problems based on their priorities. You see, there are issues we can resolve that have a domino effect. They're core issues. The Bible calls us laying the axe to the root. And in this 6-CD series, Overcome Your Greatest Temptation, you will be equipped to deal with one of the root of all your struggles. Winning this battle will put an end to almost every other struggle in your life, so that living in victory and peace becomes easier than you ever imagined. You know, in all of my personal ministry and personal mentoring of believers, one of the things that we have to come to agreement on is that the Lordship of Jesus is expressed through the written Word of God. Now, it's real easy to get hung up and get all legalistic about the written Word of God. That's not what we need to happen. But we live in a day when on every level, people are casting aside the Word of God. Some people are doing it through mysticism, and they're letting their life be led by prophecies and words of knowledge. And, you know, thank God for those things, but that really can't lead your life. That can't be the core of how you lead your life. And then there's people that are rejecting through dispensationalism. They're rejecting parts of the Word of God. There's people even in the name of grace that are rejecting the Word of God. Listen, God's Word is true. God's Word is absolute. God's Word is a record of His dealings with mankind. Now, we may misunderstand it. We may have trouble connecting with it. But the place that we have to start, if we really want to make this journey in connecting with Jesus with Lord, thereby coming to know Him intimately, and thereby coming to know God through Him, it's got to start with the fact that God's Word is God's Word, and we don't have the right to reject it. We don't have the right to change it. We don't have the right through dispensational doctrines to take some of it and to get rid of some of it. So that I want to encourage you right now to make a decision. I may not understand it, but I accept that God's Word is the wisdom for life, and that His Word, when understood through the light of Jesus, will always bring life, whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the Gospels, whether it's in the prophets, whether it's in the minor prophets, whether it's in the epistles, or whether it's in the book of Revelation. If I am looking at God's Word through the light of Jesus, it's always going to bring me life. And I'm not going to reject any part of God's Word. I'm not going to follow any teaching that rejects any part of God's Word, but I am going to experience God's Word through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is going to be my teacher. That's the starting place, and I promise you that'll always lead you to life.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.